Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Glory be to God. Are you excited about the blood covenant?
But what is a covenant? A covenant, in review, is a contract, a binding agreement between two parties, an unbreakable promise. And our God is a covenant God. Our Bible is a covenant Bible. Testament and covenant can be used interchangeably. So that's really what the Bible's all about. It's about our covenant. We have a covenant now with God from the very beginning. We talked about how God established a covenant with Adam and Eve, and it was a blood covenant. Remember, he killed the animals and clothed them with the skins of the animal, and there's several things there that show that it was a covenant. God was committing to them. He made some promises to them and thus to all of mankind that he would redeem mankind, that the day would come where the deceiver, the devil, his head would get crushed by the woman's seed. And of course, that seed is Christ. And Jesus Christ came and accomplished exactly that. He has crushed the head of the devil. He has taken his authority away from him that he had over mankind through sin. And now he has washed away our sins and given us that authority back to rule and reign in life, to rule over demonic forces, over the demonic powers that are very much here in this world. So you and I can rule and reign in life, and we have a covenant with God concerning these things. And because it was established all the way back there in the Garden of Eden with man in the very beginning, you see throughout the world, throughout history, you see forms of this blood covenant all over the world. You see this form of blood covenant. You know, we talked about last time about in America, the cowboys and Indians, and how they would make blood covenants with each other and what they would do to establish that covenant, the kind of ceremony that they would carry out. But we see all around the world in the native tribes of Africa and the Arabs, the Syrians and the Balkans, all these groups of people, they cut covenant. Some still do it today. They still cut covenant with one another. You still see the blood covenant taking place throughout the world, and it's been going on ever since the beginning, ever since Adam and Eve. And it started with God. And in some of these nations, the way they go about the ceremonies of establishing a blood covenant are very similar to the ways you see the blood covenant ceremonies performed in the Word of God. Two people would come together, or two different groups of people. They would come together and have a priest with them. And then what they would do first is they would exchange gifts with one another. And by exchanging these gifts, they indicated that all that one has was the other's to own if necessary. That's pretty serious, isn't it? I mean, a blood covenant, I mean, it just sounds serious. Well, because it is. Because again, you know, over in Leviticus, I think it's chapter 14, it says the life of the flesh is in the blood, or the blood is the life of the flesh. So blood represents your very life. So when people entered into covenant, again, they were committing their entire lives to the person that they were entering into covenant with. So it wasn't a matter of just, some land or some material things. They were giving their lives to the person that they entered into blood covenant with. So this wasn't something you just did casually. So they would first exchange gifts. And then after they exchanged gifts, they would bring a cup of wine, and the priest would make an incision in the arm of the two people that are entering into covenant with each other. and he would cause the blood to drip out of the two parties into the wine. And then he would mix that wine together, thus mixing the blood together, mixing their lives together. Again, symbolizing that the two are now one. They're connected by blood. And then after that, they would drink the wine that had the blood mixed in it. And then oftentimes they would put their wrists together so that their bloods mingled that way. Or they would touch their tongues to each other's wounds. And as soon as the two parties would drink the blood and the wine mixture, the priest would pronounce these awful curses over them, begin to speak these terrible curses over them if they were to break this covenant. And then the last step in the ceremony is that they would plant trees, trees that were known for long life. And they would plant those trees as a, again, as a sign to them and to future generations of their commitment to this covenant. Now, if they lived in a place where they couldn't plant a tree because there was no trees, like out in a desert or something like that, then they would use stones, and they would pile stones up and make a memorial that way. I was looking at these different things, and I thought, well, they would come together with a priest, and of course, Jesus, he is, according to the Word of God, our high priest. He is the mediator between us and God, or God and man. Man. And then, of course, when we're talking about exchanging gifts, he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And again, what does the gift represent? All that I own, all that I have is yours. Well, who's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the very heart of God. Remember, you know, the word spirit and heart are used interchangeably in the Word of God. So when we're referring to our human spirit, many times the Bible will say the heart of man. Well, he's not talking about the blood pumper. When he's talking about the heart of man, he's talking about the center of man's being, the spirit of man. The spirit of man. Well, if that's true, if heart and spirit are interchangeable for man, then we can use it interchangeably for God's spirit. Heart and spirit. The Holy Spirit is the heart of God. So God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? He says, all that I am, all that I have is yours. If you need it, you got access to it. Here's the Holy Spirit. You got access. When you got the Holy Spirit, you got access to the very heart of God. You got access to all that he is and all that he has. And that's what he's done for you and I through this blood covenant that he made with us through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our high priest. He is the mediator. And God has given us through him the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then when it talks about the cup of wine and the incision in the arm and the blood going into the wine, of course, we have the blood of Jesus. The blood of the Son of God. And remember, Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. He is God come in the flesh. So Jesus, when his blood's being poured out, you got the blood of God, God the Father, and the blood of mankind. Both those bloods being mingled together, coming together at one, as one, and then we partake of it through something called communion. That's amazing. You see, this is going on in pagan countries, in places where they don't know anything about the blood covenant you and I have. They don't know anything about Christianity. But yet they're carrying out this covenant because it is something that has been passed down all the way from the very beginning. And all throughout civilization, people have been entering into these blood covenants with one another. And then when they would put their wrists together so that the bloods mingled, or they would touch their tongues to each other's wounds. That's interesting, the tongue touching the wounds. You know, what you say is very important. What you say about God and your relationship with God. The Bible has a lot to say about who we are as believers in Christ Jesus. You see that phrase throughout the New Testament, in Christ. It's mentioned many, many times, and it's talking about our identification with Christ. We identify with Him. Of course, Jesus, He identifies with us. We see that. I mean, He's got those nail scars in His hand. He still carries those wounds to this day. He still has what would be referred to as the marks of the covenant. He has the marks of the covenant. And you and I are to be declaring and speaking who we are in Christ Jesus. And as we do, we are identifying with Him and thus mingling our lives together. Who are we in Christ Jesus? Well, we are the righteousness of God in Him. That's what the Bible says. That you're the righteousness of God in Him. That's who you are. You need to declare that. You need to know that about yourself. You need to say that. We declare, we mingle together that we are one with Him. Everything He is in us, and we are therefore in Him, the righteousness of God. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave His life for us. Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. We are rich in Him. I'm going to know God's rich. Is God rich? God's got no problem with stuff, right? He makes all kinds of good things. You're one with Him. You're one with it. How many people know God's a pretty healthy God? Yeah, well, the Bible says that by His stripes you were healed. I am healed in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. That's I identify with Christ and what He accomplished for me. In Him, I'm healed. In Him, I'm not poor, I'm rich. In Him, I'm righteous. In Him, I have the mind of Christ. In Him, I got peace. In Him, I got joy. And everything that God is. That's who we are, in Him. But we got to declare those things. And by doing that, we're mixing our lives together as one. Hallelujah. Very important. It's all part of our walking out, our part of the covenant. And then as soon as the two parties had drunk of the wine and blood mixture, the priest would pronounce these awful curses. Well, man, you see that throughout the Word of God. And we'll look at that here in a minute. I'm going to skip over that one and go to the last one. They would plant a tree as a memorial. These were called memorial trees or trees of the covenant. Do we have anything like that in our covenant? Is there a tree that stands as a memorial of our covenant with God? Yeah, thank God. It's the tree of Calvary. It's the tree that Jesus hung on for you and me, which connects us to the blessings and the curses. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. The cross is that tree. It is that symbol. It is that sign of our covenant with God. Isn't that powerful? So here, I just went through, you know, all these different nations that carry out these rituals. And you think, well, you know, what's so big about those things? And we see that it's connected to the way God functions, to the way God does things. And whenever someone would enter in to a covenant like this in Africa, if one was to break the covenant, his own mother or wife or his nearest relatives would seek his death. They would turn him over to the hands of the avenger for destruction. The man can't live in Africa who breaks the covenant. He curses the very ground he walks on. And supposedly there's never been an account of anybody that has ever broken a blood covenant. The vilest enemies become trusted friends as soon as the covenant is cut. So, man, they could have a history of, you know, family feuds or what have you. And they don't like each other. And the one is always stealing from the other and talking about the other and trying to get at the other. But if they ever entered into a blood covenant, they love each other. They are committed to each other to death. It's so sacred that the children to the third and fourth generation revere it and keep it. They keep this covenant. It is a perpetual covenant, indissoluble, a covenant that cannot be annulled. You know, you see this among men doing this with one another, and they're taking it that serious. How much more between God through Jesus Christ, our high priest, and the one who provided the blood for the sacrifice for both God and man. He provided his entire life, all of his blood for mankind. How much more is that covenant a serious, serious covenant? See, we live in a society where people really don't know much about commitment. I mean, it is just so sad. People, they get offended. People break off relationships that are supposed to be for life. People betray one another. People backstab one another. People who are supposed to be bonded to each other as friends to the end. My BFF, best friends forever. My BFF, you're my BFF. Unless you mess with me. Unless you steal the soccer ball. Then you're not my BFF. Then she's my BFF. And then we got this thing in our society called dating. We're gonna date. What does that mean? That means we're gonna do everything that married people do without a covenant, without committing anything to each other. We're just gonna tell each other, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. And then we're gonna give it all, show it all, do it all. And then, you know what? I don't really care for you anymore. And so we move on. And we date somebody else. And then we date somebody else. And we date somebody else. And it is so dishonorable and so disgraceful to live that way. And yet that is the culture of our day. That is normal. It is abnormal for a pastor to stand up and say, what in the world are you dating for? That's abnormal. What we need to do is just build strong friendships, strong relationships, but there's certain lines that we do not cross until we're ready to lay our life down in a covenant that cannot be annulled, in a covenant that cannot be broken. But we live in this sensual, touchy, free-flowing society today, which isn't free at all because it only leads to bondage. God's way leads to life. God's way is the way of liberty. That's the way of freedom. But the world's way leads to bondage. Leads to bondage. And people are walking in this. This is what's going on. Everything. It's free love, free everything, you know. And there's no commitment. No commitment. People get a little touchy. Church? Oh, my goodness. Well, I've been doing this 22 years, pastor, in this church. You got people, they come in, they go, we've been praying for a pastor like you. We love this church. This is the greatest church. We're so glad you're here. 2 weeks later, they're gone. Because they didn't like a song. It was too loud. That praise and worship was too loud. The pastor said something that just was a little bit too much. Just like right now. He's doing it again, I know. This is a little bit too much. Hey, you want to come to our church? Commitment? Covenant? Blood? Yikes! Can't we just keep doing the sweet nothings? Yeah, if you want to end up a nothing. If you want to end up a worthless human being, no value about you. And so you're of no value to society. You're no value to the kingdom of God. And when you get over into eternity, you find out what a fleshly, superficial, empty, nothing of a life you lived. And then you got to deal with that and all the consequences thereof. See, we got to take life serious. Take who we are serious. There's only one of you. Don't mess you up. Don't throw your life away. Don't treat your life as cheap, worthless, useless. Because that's what the God of this world, who the Bible says is the devil, is training his kids to do. He's training his kids to live superficial, sensual, empty, shallow lives to keep mankind worthless. Worthless. You're not a person of your word. Your word is worthless. Your commitment is worthless. You're in, you're out, nobody knows. It's whatever you feel like doing. It's whatever you feel like. Life, everything, all your decisions in life are according to your preferences rather than according to conviction, rather than according to commitment. Rather, the Bible says that we are to be a people that when we swear about something, we stick with it even if it is to our own hurt. Even if we know, oh man, I shouldn't have committed to that. Oh wow, I'm really gonna suffer here by doing this. I'm gonna miss the ball game. That's the level of some people's suffering that they just can't possibly. They got to get out of that commitment somehow. I didn't know the bowl game was that day. I got to get out of this commitment. Bible says we're to suffer to our own hurt. We're to be a person of our word and swear to our own hurt. You say something, your word is your bond. You're committed. It's people like that that God can use more than people that you really don't know what you get. You don't know what you get. They say, I'll be there. You don't know if they're going to be there. Most folks just say, well, I don't know if I'll be there. And that's honest. And that's not even honest because they know they're not going to be there. But they're just trying to be polite. And that's not polite. It's not right. It's not polite. It's wrong. It's a lie. Lying's not good. We could do a whole teaching on lying. It wouldn't hurt. In our society today, we could do a whole series, lying. Because lying is so normal for so many people. People lie about the stupidest things. They'll just lie about the stupidest things. So people have these superficial relationships. They live life very superficial. And there's no real commitment. But covenant is all about commitment. It's all about commitment. And faith is all about commitment. Faith is our part of the covenant. Believe. Believe God. Believe what he did through you, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. That's your part. It's not believe sometimes. I'm having a hard time believing. No, believing can be hard to us. Believing is just, it's who we are. I'm a believer. I'm committed. I'm committed to what that word says. I believe what God said, and therefore I'm committed to it. I'm committed to it. There's no back door with faith. People mess their lives up so much because they don't just have a back door. They got back windows. They got back doors. They got all kinds of alternative ways out of whatever they're in. And that's something the Lord said to me years ago. He said, my people lack anointing power because they lack commitment. They lack anointing power because they lack commitment. And God will test us. He'll test us to see if we are covenant-keeping people, if we are a people of our word, if what we really believe, and that we're willing to die for what we believe. He'll test us. He did with Abraham. He entered into covenant with Abraham, went through a whole ceremony with Abraham, and then the day came where God tested Abraham. He gave him a covenant test. That's what that test is all about. All right, Abraham, so we just had this blood sacrifice, made this blood covenant. Remember, Abraham killed these animals, laid them out, cut them in half, laid them out, put all the pieces out there, and Abraham fell off to sleep. God walked through those pieces and began to declare the blessings over Abraham's life. God walked through those pieces. And what was that? What was God saying there? God was saying, all that I am, all that I have is yours, Abraham. And by Abraham coming into this covenant with God, Abraham's saying the same thing. He's saying, God, all that I am and all that I have is yours. I give you my life. So the day comes and says, God says to him, okay, Abraham, you know your son, your only son, the son whom you love, Isaac. You know, I mean, he is your most precious thing. He is your life. Give him to me. Give him to me as a sacrifice. Sacrifice him on the mountain that I will show you. And you know what? Abraham didn't hesitate. Abraham, there's no indication Abraham hesitated. Abraham was grieved for his son. Abraham, none of that. You know why? Because Abraham was a covenant-keeping Abraham. And he understood, God, all that I own, all that I am, all that I have is yours. God says, give me your son. Okay. And God, Abraham takes his son, climbs the mountain, raises the knife, and he's ready to sacrifice his son. And God calls out and stops him right before he comes down and kills his son. He was ready to do it. Why? He's in covenant with God. We need to understand we're in covenant with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the communion is all about. We're partaking of his blood. We're identifying with what he's done. We're saying to God, God, thank you that all that you are and all that you have belongs to me now. And all that I am, all that I have belongs to you. If you need something of me, here it is. If there's something you want, Lord, it's yours. Just ask. Doesn't matter how inconvenient it is. Doesn't matter how much it costs. If you need me, here I am. Here I am. You need me to do something, here I am. That's what it's all about. That's what makes us people of worth. That's what makes us people of value. That's what causes people of worth and people of value to come around us. You know, people of character, people of integrity, people of worth. They don't want to hang around with people that are worthless, people that are useless. They're not drawn to that. What kind of folks do you want to draw to you? I want to draw covenant-keeping people to me. I want to be around covenant-keeping people. That's going to cause life to be full and rich. All this betrayal, all this turning our back on one another, stabbing one. You know, those kind of folks, they don't need to stay. They don't need to be around me. They don't need to be around you. That's not a full, enriched life, being around those kind of people. But thank God, there are people of commitment. There are people of character, people that are drawn to character, drawn to integrity, drawn to that kind of lifestyle. And those are the kind of folks you want to surround yourself with. Man, then you got a secure, peaceful, blessed life. That's God's will for all of us. He wants us to live a secure, peaceful, blessed life. That's what he's got for us. Praise God. God's given us everything. The way we're able to receive it is through faith. What is faith? Faith is a commitment. It says, I let go and I give all to you. I let go, I give all to you, God. That's what friendships are. Again, going back to the BFF things. People that are in covenant with each other, they were referred to as friends. Remember, Abraham was a friend of God. They were friends. But again, friendship today is very, very superficial. Very superficial. Doesn't really require much commitment. But if two people wanted to be friends, I mean, they wanted to really be friends because they really loved each other, they'd make a blood covenant with each other. They'd make a commitment to each other. And really, that's what God wants to be with you. He wants you to be his friend. God wants to love you. For love's sake, God has entered into covenant with you. So he's there for you. You're his BFF. You're his best friend forever. Isn't that awesome? That's what the cross means. BFF, I'm your best friend forever. Well, Abraham, what kind of friend are you going to be? What are you going to be? You going to cheat on God? Betray God? Violate what God would want? God's will? Do things your way, not his way? Follow your feelings, what makes you happy. It's all about making you happy, right? Not when you're in a friendship relationship that's based on a blood covenant. And it's all about making sure your friend is happy. We're not going to be happy at the expense of those that we love, if you really love them. God wants you happy, but it's not to be at the expense of the people you love. People you're in covenant with. How people love God. See, he wants us to be his friend. It was for love's sake that God entered into covenant with you and I. And how do we keep that covenant? Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this love is a commitment that is forever. I love you, therefore I'll never betray you. I'll never do anything to harm you, your reputation, your kingdom. I'm not going to do anything that's contrary to you, God. I'm not going to slander you. It's a love thing. And when we keep our end of that covenant, we know God's keeping his end of the covenant. And when we're in faith about God, walking in love with him, what's going to happen? You're going to enjoy all that he is. And all that he has. You're going to be a receiver of all the benefits of this blood covenant. And what's exciting is if you mess up, God's still in covenant with you. God's still committed to you. He's still committed to blessing you, protecting you, guarding you, healing you, helping you. He's committed to you and I. Through the blood covenant. So it doesn't matter. Hey, you feel, I just don't feel loved. I don't feel wanted. I don't feel important. I don't care about your feelings. God's not connected to you through feelings. God's connected to you through blood, through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So it ain't about feelings with God. Thank God. Hallelujah. And we need to become more and more covenant-keeping people so that it's not about feelings with us either. Regardless of how I feel, I'm committed. Committed to God, committed to my family, committed to my friends, according to the blood covenant. Committed. It's not about feelings. I'm there for you. I'm committed. I'm helping you. I'm standing by you. I'll protect you. I'll step in if you need me. Lay my life down for you. No greater love has anyone have than this, that he lays down his life for his friend. Lay down his life for his friend. That's the kind of love that God has towards us. And now that's the kind of love we're learning to walk in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Matthew 26, in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day, that day, when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, it's interesting here in all these gospel accounts of the communion or the Lord's table. And again, the communion, the Lord's table, is just a name for blood covenant. It's the blood covenant. But it's interesting. Is it ever have you ever wondered how the disciples didn't say anything about this? They were just totally silent as Jesus said these things to them. "This is my body. This is my blood. Do this." Why were they so silent? Because they understood exactly what was going on. They understood that this was a blood covenant, and this is how you do a blood covenant. This is a part of it right here. They understood exactly what was going on, and that's why they didn't say, "I don't understand. I don't understand. What does that mean?" They understood exactly what it meant. And now we do too. Amen? That's why the Bible says in Corinthians, it says, "He who drinks this cup and eats this bread in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Strong language. Strong language. Why? Because it's a serious thing, this blood covenant. So as we partake of communion this morning, we are taking it serious, and we're just like those tribes in Africa and different parts of the world, we understand that we are in a blood covenant with Almighty God, and all that I am, all that I have is His, and all that He is and all that He has is mine. Praise God. So I believe communion will take on a whole new meaning for us now as we partake of it this morning. Can you say amen?
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.